Shel Anamala, naturally, naturally, there is in the Namala a Zerizis, and it should be the place of Limud Eitzel Anamala, and yet it's not listed here. And we need to understand why it's not listed. And before we get there, we have to understand what is this trait called Zerizis. How do we define it? Hey, Misimoneha Hamuvikim Shel HaNefesh, from the real signs of our soul is ki einena mismalos. It doesn't become satiated. Hanefesh lo simole. The soul doesn't satiate. Moshel, it's an unbelievable moshel, famous moshel. Lemoa davidoyma, what's it like? Liiruni, a commoner, shenasa bas melech, who married the princess. Im yavolo kol mashibolom. No matter what this commoner is going to bring to the princess, einam chashuvim lo klum. It doesn't mean anything to her. Shehi bas melech. She's the daughter, she's the princess, she's seen it all already. Kacha nefesh. Ilu avos lo kol madanei olam. You'll bring her all the madanim, the good things of this world. Einam klum la. It's nothing for the nefesh. Lama shehim in elyonim. Why? Because the nefesh is from the elyonim, from heaven. But obviously, arei baska, arei abas melech. So therefore, everything that we have is going to vary if it's for the body or if it's for the soul. That which will satisfy the body won't touch the soul, and vice versa. Now let's go four lines from the bottom. Yaduim ein divrei agro. We know the words of the Gra. Amasha omrim b'baruch she'ama. This baruch oseh bereshis. Pamim at times, abriya, the creation, kula, is called maisa bereshis. That's sometimes we call it. And sometimes we leave out the word maisa, and we call it bereshis. So now the Gra says, in baruch she'amar, we say, so therefore we say, Baruch, what? Baruch, Omer v'Ose. He said, and he created a world. Then what's the next line? Baruch, Ose, Bereshis. He made Bereshis? You just told it to me. When you told me, oh, Mary, Osa, he made the world, he said the world should be, and he made the world. So what are you coming and telling me now? Osa, Bereshis. Right? Two lines from the top. Hakavonehi, what does it mean to say? Lebrias hazman. There is the creation called time. Beginning time. Shegam azman ibriya miyuchedes. Time is a unique creation. Uvechol zos, still, ma'afosa yos abriya natzalu biyose, eino nichlas b'maisa bereshis. It's not included in that which we talked about, creation of the world, but it's its own creation for this physical world called time. So time is an element in the physical world. It's included b'maisa bereshis. It's included in bereshis. We have a special set aside bracha hazman, and we say ose bereshis. Now, let's understand: if time is an element in the physical world, and everything that's in the physical world doesn't relate to the soul, so then time is a difficulty relating to the soul because it's part of the physical world. So now, theoretically, if I would want to make a mitzvah become totally spiritual, theoretically, what would I do? I would somehow figure out how to break this concept called time. I would want to break out of the time to make it spiritual, kula ruchni. But I live in this body, and the body is in the physical world. So now I have to figure out this balance, how to do an action that is ruchnius, that is spirituality, yet I'm living in the physical world. So I need to find this balance. Therefore, look at five lines before the end of this paragraph. And as a test, what to do in this thing, shall a nefresh of the soul lifrots pirza b'mechitzas hazman, to break this limitation called time, ba mihiris atenua b'avodas Hashem, so the quickness that's caused by my soul, al she'ayodo misametes k'mos hazman, when I'm coming to do something and I want to make it ruchni, I'm trying to break out. To try and get to the other side. That's called Zerizus. Zerizus is the drive of the soul to make an action as spiritual, as ruchni as can be, without letting it come under the domain called time. Can't be totally out of it, but as much as I can to keep it into out of Zman, because of my neshama, that's called Zerizus. Now let's see how we're going to deal with this. Now we can understand, of course, if Torah wouldn't have been given, I wouldn't know about this. I wouldn't know about these reasons. Now, why? How does it relate to the Nemala? We have to bring it back in, but we have to understand it.
Yeah. How do we fit all this with the concept that so many mitzvot fall under mitzvot aseh shehazman gramo?
Because we can't break out. You know, that's our problem. But let's say a simple example, right?
Yeah.
You wake up, you have a day off, right? Let's see, wake up, the alarm goes off at 7:30 in the morning, and you say, nah, I got my day off, and you turn over, you wake over, it's 10:30, get out of bed, and you put on your tefillin. Can I say you didn't put on, that you didn't put on tefillin? I can't say you didn't put on tefillin, you put on tefillin. But is that the push for breaking out and for ruchnius? That's how ruchnius. That's a bal gashmi. He stayed in bed, that's bal gashmi. Guy who's really driven for his spirituality would love to daven eitz. It's 7:30. He wants to go to bed after the different story. But he's dying to get out because he wants to relate to the Rabbeinu Shalom. But not that he goes to the 8:30, 10 o'clock minyan. That's not it. Yeah, I didn't say you can't daven at 10 o'clock if it's Mon Tefillah. I didn't say that. But is that davening? That's not the ruchnis. That's not the ruchni breaking out to be connected to ruchnis.
But most of the mitzvahs are based on time. That's Shabbos is based on time.
Because we're in our bodies.
The calendar.
We're in our bodies. That's the dilemma we live. We live in a very strange shidduch. And only God himself could have made such a shidduch. He's the only shadchan who could have done such a thing. Because it doesn't make sense. There's nothing that makes sense about our existence. Not the body and the soul being together. They don't make any sense.
But there's a contradiction. Let's say Korban Pesach. So Korban Pesach has a certain time. I'm a Zariz, and I want to bring the Korban Pesach the day after Purim. I want to bring it. I'm a Zariz.
Good. So you say, because that's not the Zman. Because there's a Zman. Good. But
so
if I come to bring the Korban Pesach a minute and a half before Shkia, I didn't bring it at Chatzos. I wasn't standing by for when they opened the door in the first group in the Beis HaMikdash. I am sitting at home eating lunch. And I'll take my time and I'll come in the last guy in the last group.
No, for Shtetzach. But that means that the definition of Zerizos itself is mugbal by time also. In other words,
that's
a contradiction in terms.
That's exactly what he's saying.
On the one hand, Zerizos is my trying to to get away from the concept of time, because time is a gashmiistic idea.
But yet,
on the other hand, there are boundaries. If I bring it, if I bring the Korban Pesach and on Sukkot,
which is exactly what he's saying, because I'm living in this body which is gashmi, and I'm trying to touch into Ruchni, I have that problem automatically, whatever I'm going to do.
What about like an example like Pesach Sheni? Isn't Pesach Sheni inherently an example in which you're mafsid zman, but you're... And he said at first that there's a blemish as a result of you not being Zaris, but by bringing a Pesach Sheni, is it, according to this Mahalach, an inherently blemished mitzvah that you completely fulfill?
No, because
fulfill?
Over there, they were dying to do the mitzvah.
They were honest.
But they were honest. What could they do? They were, especially in the first one.
So this research issue isn't relevant in that case. Okay.
It's a very hard concept.
Right. Okay.
It's a very, very hard concept because of this dilemma that we have in how we live in the body and soul.
I guess what I'm not clear about is when he says pugum, what exactly does he mean when he says pugum? Meaning it's not a chifetz of a mitzvah at all?
Let's hear his real one.
Okay.
But hold on just one second. Time is defining the ruchnis.
Time is defining when to do ruchnis, not the ruchnis. Defining when to do it. How I'm going to do the ruchnis and that concept of living within a physical world.
Right, so time. So
of course, there's this time element.
So, right, so time is an element of ruchnis also. It's not 100% kashmir.
You see, the world clothes are part of.
No, that's what I remember.
It's a very difficult concept. That's exactly
what. You need the time. You can't work without the time, but you got to make the time work for you.
Yeah, right. Well said. But it's a dilemma. We live in this dilemma, which is anyhow.
You do a mitzvah.
Well, we sit down and eat lunch. But my soul doesn't want to eat. The soul would love to have spirituality. And here I'm putting away a sandwich. Got to eat. So now you got this. We live in this dilemma constantly. And this is an inherent problem.
Right, but the issue when you're eating is...
To try
what
and
am I
make...
Making, what am I going to make that... Right. I can make that... Eating into a fresin,
right.
I can make it into kulo gashmius,
right.
Or I can make it zeh shulchan
hashem. Good. So there's a battle going on while I put up the sandwich. I'm about to eat the sandwich. There's an inherent battle going on between my body and my soul. Does body control or soul controls? The body, of course, is going to do the eating. But now, what is the dominant being? Is it the body? Now I become gashmi, or is it a ruchni that becomes the dominating force to? Let's call back, push, whatever word we want to use, in that existence of eating. The Chiddush of Shabbos and Yom Tov is that I make an eating, that's Ruchnius. That's the Chiddush of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, we meet it on the Dovazeh. It's a very interesting thing that we learn, Mechipozin the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim. We speak about quickness on the way out. Hashem Bavadei Einin Yonah Bona Loma. We're not. The Torah is not coming to tell us Sham Ura Lo Arach Harbe. It's not coming to tell me that the event didn't take time. That's not what the Torah wants to teach us. Elokidaz Belon Mori Neinu Amaral. Like the Maral says, Shemikivin Yitzias Mitzrayim Hu Abereishis. It's the very beginning and foundation of this nation called Netzach Yisrael. That's the everlasting existence of Yisrael. Dainus Havis, it's the making of Knesset Yisrael. Shibriya Lamaylo Ben Azman, it's above time. It's not, it's a nation that tries to live above in a ruchnius existence. That's why Yitzias Mitzrayim had to be Nimsheches L'maylum and Hazman almost above time. And that's why it wasn't a quickness to get out. What do you mean? You're there 210 years, you can't wait another 2 minutes to bake your bread? No, that's the definition. That's who we are. We're a people who want to try and live in a ruchni existence. And therefore, we're going to go with the quickness that's going to define our existence. But Kan Magian, now we get to what we call the main thing about Netzach Yisrael. It's the idea is to put into our nefesh, top of the next page, Uzmana miyuchad rak l'knesses Yisrael. That's unique to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Klal Yisrael wants to be this people that's above it. But you can't. So we got that one. He used to say a mushroom. He said there's two types of people. There are some people that know great things are going on the other side of the wall. So what do? They go to the wall and they jump and they jump and they jump and jump. Finally, they got it to a point. They jumped and they saw the top of the wall and they looked over and they saw what's going on the other side. And then there's some people that will climb up on the garage on this side, stand on the roof, and look from the roof over the wall to the other side. Klal Yisrael's trying to stand on the roof to look to the other side, which is Ruchnius. But they're on this side still. But their whole existence is to see what's going on the other side. That's what they want to do. Now, so what do? We're trying to get to this thing. That's really what matzah is all about. So therefore, that's what Chazal means. A mitzvah that comes to your hand, and you let it take its time, it's chometz. Why? Because it's missing in this unique quality of spirituality called zrizus. A tremendous insight. Now, let's look at Tess. Let's go to Tess. Rabusa gdolu binyan zeh, and what's this big chiddush? When you normally talk in the physical world, quickness, we're talking about high level. The zrizus of this ant, bevadai she'ein lo shum shaychus im taivis mihiris ha'goel chayfetz ha'nirtza. The Namala's quickness is not because he wants to get to what he's going to eat. Why? Sharei eino chayo elo vav chadoshim. It only lives an average of 6 months. And chol chamachola, and all the food that it gathers, hichito umachza, 1.5, v'machneses meos kurim, and he brings in many kurim. All he needs is 1.5. And he's bringing in a lot of things. That's not taiva. That's not taiva. That's a chazal. The namala is in a being that time is not an element. Why is that the place to learn zrizis? Hanudafka lemidus as rizus bekoma elyona, high levels rizus, because she's not doing the rizus for taivis to run to the store to eat another steak. It's running for something that's beyond it. It's beyond its life. It's a rizus in the mala. It's an interesting kind of thought system. Is that we're going to learn this reasons because the Namala runs to do things that will never enjoy from that which it's doing. It's an interesting idea. Good. So therefore, what do we learn from the words of the Maral? Sha'ois a mitzvah mebliz rizis. You do mitzvah without rizis. Hu pogein es ha mitzvah. You put a basic blemish in the mitzvah by letting it take time. Why? Shahu mara yidei zeh shahamitzvu dava hanofel tachas hazman. Mitzvah is not something that I want to do your commandment to connect to you to break out of it. I want to make it spiritual. That's not it. V'ayinu kenal shemikiv and shezrizis ba'avodas Hashem shoknes tzuel. Zrizis is shemizkor zman. You want to get past the zman, but you can't. The other side of waiting of zman is letting the mitzvah fall under time, taking your time. So if I'm not driven to do the mitzvah because I want to connect to spirituality of it, so that I'm missing in the essence of what Zerizus is all about. There's a basic blemish in my mitzvah. We say in our Shir Shel Yom, a capital in Tehillim, we say, V'hu yinageinu almus. Pshuta shel mikra almos. Above death. Hainu l'maylum en amisa. Dainu b'tchum ha-netzach. And Chazal tell us almus b'zerizus, quickly. V'hainu kenal d'mida ha-netzach is a poel, it's the action in within Zman that's going to let me touch on something that's beyond death. How good a thing. Hu yinagenu almus. Almus, shelefi pshut inyonu nitzchias, I'm touching into spirituality of everlasting. Almus, shelefi midrash, zrizis, Chazal say that's zrizis. How is zrizis and getting above the physical? Those are two sides of the same coin. And that's what it means, zrizis. So when we look at matzah, we're not looking just at plain thing, as the Maral says, and we're going to see the Maral Belinator, that Zerizus in making a matzah is a pshat, that's the definition of who we are. It's not just that this is what happened. This is who we are. It happened that way because that's what we're making, a nation of Zerizus, a nation of matzah. Matzah's matzah. Matzah's there to define. It's the lechem demeyam nusa, it's the bread of belief. Because this is who we are. Great people, when they bring the matzah into the house, they kiss the matzah. They dance with the matzah because the matzahs are high-level beings. It's not star matzahs. So therefore, when we talk about matzah, we're talking about bread that gives us the ability to touch beyond or as close as we can get to it in Ruchnius. Let's go and learn a little Maral together. Now, let's just get it clear in our minds so we know what we're doing. Friday night, you don't sit down and say, fish, soup, chicken, kugel, dessert. So why in the world say tonight, you sit down and you say, a whole suah seder that you're going to do. Why? And of all the things to call it, why do you call it Seder? Seder means order. Why would you call it order? If you call it the night of matzah, the night of whatever you want to call it. Seder? Why would we call it Seder? So Sisvaram explained to us a very, very important thing. The most important thing of Seder night is to give over to whoever's there Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to that the people who are sitting there have to discuss and have to understand Emunah, belief in Hashem, and that there is an order to the creation, and that there is an order to history. And Belinator, we'll try to get through Chad Gadya. Chad Gadya is from the most important parts of the Seder. It's not just that the wine got to us. It's the most important things in the whole Seder. And it's so important that the Gra wrote at least two Mefarshim Alpi Nigla and one Alpi Kabbalah. And the Chassam Sofer wrote about six or seven Pshatim in Chad Gadya. Chad Gadya is unbelievably deep. And that's the climax of a whole night. And it's not just, you know, in fact, that's why it's an old custom that no matter where they came from, whether it was Germany, Hungary, Poland, wherever they came from, they would sing it in the natural tongue so that everyone should know what Chad Gadya is. And we have to get to tribally native to understand it at least on one level of depth so that we can understand what it's all about. But the night of Seder night is that there's an order. That there is a Berberei Olam that runs the history of the world from the beginning till today. Look around, and this is one of the keys that we must give over. Look around what happened to us in the last 70 years. We were just about wiped out. And today, look at who we are. It's a tremendous amount. There are more people learning Torah today, not saying the quality, I'm talking about numbers, than there's ever been since Bayis Sheni. It's never been this way. Never. You would take all of its yeshiva people in Europe, put them together, you won't get near the numbers sitting in Lakewood. Doesn't get near it. Near it. And if you put Lakewood and Mir together, it's just mind-boggling. I'm not even talking about all the Ponovich and et cetera, et cetera. It's unbelievable what's happened to us. And when Ponovich and Rov came and he put down the cornerstone and Hitler's army is 30 miles away and they said it's all over, what are you putting down a stone for? We're digging graves. Ponovich and Rov said, there's going to be a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. And this is the place it's going to be. That's what we need to give over to the children and to the people. That there's belief, there's hope, there's an understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world. And if all I'm giving it to him is just to talk about if Telcharosis taste good or not, I missed the whole Seder. I missed it. I don't want to tell you you didn't eat matzah, but that's not what a Seder is. Seder is this from the beginning to the end. When I was a kid, I never understood how come I say, my father, what takes so long? Why does it take these chachamim all night? Today, I don't know how to get it in. The times we end our Seder, I didn't want to tell you what time. Mamish, it's very difficult. There's so much time to speak about and so much to give over and so much for the kids and my wife to understand a deeper appreciation of who we are and what we are. That's Seder night. That's the night to give it over. And therefore, that's why it's called Seder. There's an order. We believe that the Rabbeinu Shalom is here and he's running this world and that every move in the history of the Jewish people is run by God. Just think about it. Who would have ever thought that you could have a land where you have millions of people all around you are trying to kill you, would love to wipe you out, and it still exists? And if somebody comes along and would say, how does the land of Israel last for so many years the way it's going? It's one of those kashas you don't have a teretz for. That's also. So you say you like the state, you don't like the state, you want the state, you don't want the state. That's not the question. Look at what's going on in the world. And understand that the Rabbeinu Shalom is running it. Look what's happening. It happens in America. How many people? You have 93,000 people come to see him Hashas. Who would have dreamt it? Nobody in their wildest dream would have ever thought that would have ever happened in America. Never. But that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Didn't happen on its own. And I have to give that over. And it's irrelevant, it's very real, and I have to make, and that's why I want to tell you that very often I find preparing for the Seder very difficult. Because I have sitting at the Seder my son, who's 36, I have my son, who's 17, I have my grandson, who's 12, and I have my grandson, who's 7, and I got to have them all in it. And they all have to walk out with a different understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It needs tremendous preparation. How are you going to say it? What are you going to say? That's Seder night. And it doesn't make a difference, and you got to work it through. It's not a matter of what you're serving for the main. This is the main. This is what you got to give over. Matzah, the emnusa, the belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Push it. Think about it. Think about it. It's so unbelievable. It's just unreal with it. The whole thing about America, where we are and what we do and what's happening, every little thing. And listen, the Hurricane Sandy wasn't by mistake. That was a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we better wake up and do something about ourselves. What? We don't know. It's hard. But that's part of what they have to understand. Nothing. Whether we had a hurricane a year and a half ago, and now we have Sandy, and it's not just at random. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to give us messages. We have to tell them. They have to understand. A hurricane is a message from Hashem. Why some people got wiped out? I just was talking last Shabbos with somebody who told me that 80% of his inventory was wiped out in the basement in a building in Jersey, 80% of his inventory. And the guy next door, nothing. How did it happen? They're banishing him, deciding. And we have to understand that something's going on in this world. And it's not at random. That's Eganek. And therefore, when we talk about matzah, when we talk about moror, we talk about things, it's all part of it. Understand? But Bali Machshava, great Bali Machshava said, what is the sandwich all about? We'll try and get to it. But what's the sandwich? The top matzah is the matzah of Geula. Which matzah? The Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The bottom matzah is the Geula or Asida that we wait for. And a Yid has to know that between the top matzah and the bottom matzah, there's a lot of moror. But if you understand that it's sandwiched between this whole deal, and that it's all part of the history, and it's all part of what Klal Yisrael is about, then the sandwich is the main part. It's a very key lesson for us to understand. That is who we are. And therefore, it's very, very important. And therefore, it's so interesting. You know, I'm not going into it now because it's a very long thing. But we say, the pasuk that we say when we eat the sandwich is kacha yom mahila loimrim. This is what Kahila used to do, Zeich Lamikdash Kahila. And he would say, that's by Pesach Sheni, not Pesach Rishon. So why are we saying a pasuk? Good, the Gemara has made a mudim from one to the other. That's, but great people have told us, you know why you use a pasuk in Pesach Sheni? Because even though I'm sitting in the Golas, eating it in the Golas, I believe that by the time Pesach Sheni comes around, I'm going to be bringing Pesach Sheni. You're going to tell me halachically there's a question if you couldn't bring, not because you didn't, but could, will you be able to bring Pesach Sheni? Okay, look, that's good, gosh. But the concept, it's what am I giving over to everyone? I'm talking Amuna, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every one of the makos. I want to tell you that I'm a very, very big believer. My house, I have a few of them. There's a tremendous Haggadah called the Cat's Haggadah. It's a must-have in my mind. You have to get one. If you don't have one, buy one. Have them mail it to you. Cat's Haggadah, put out by Feldheim. It has their drawings. But the drawings have, every little bit of the drawing is based on a Chazal. And every one of the Chazals are explained in the back of the Haggadah, page by page. Every little move in that Haggadah is all based on Chazal. But it's such a real, the beautiful pictures that it gets everyone in it. The little kids, the big kids, the guys in Kollel want to see the Chazal. Everyone's included in this Cat's Haggadah. It's a brilliant, brilliant move. But that's what you need. You need things that keep us in. Okay. Yeah, let's talk. Now we're gonna pick out pieces in the Maral here. Let's see what's going on.
What sefer?
The Maral. Gevuras Hashem. Olach Manya. I'm not going to go into it, but there's a very big question. I'll be nice if that which it says in the they have a separate volume. It's called in the red set. It's called the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And the Haggadah Shel Pesach, it has the Gevuras Hashem, and then it has another thing called Divrei Magidim. According to most people, if you look at it carefully, it can't be written by the Maral. It's not possible. Because almost everything that he writes in there is contradictory to the Gevuras Hashem. There's so many contradictions, it's unbelievable. Including how many matzahs and what the matzahs stand for, and they go on and on. So they say it was written by a guy named Rosenberg in the beginning of the 1900s, and he had to make a parnosa and put this thing out, and that's how he did it. The same thing like the Maral's Golem. According to most people, there was no Golem. There never was a Golem. Never was heard about it until the beginning of 1900, and who wrote about it? This guy Rosenberg wrote a book. Okay, but.
That's more of an accident.
What?
That he didn't mean to be, put it out in a book like children's stories.
Yeah, but the only problem is that according to the book, the one who helped him make it, his name is the son-in-law of the Maral, and his name was, I forgot his first name, Katz. So in the middle of the book, he writes, and then Rav Katz Zatzal, he was supposed to be writing the book, Katz. And the Katz Zatzal.
This is the whole story of him throwing the cloth with Hashem's name, and it's all like made
know,
up.
I don't know. No, according to many people, nobody knew about it or anything about it until the late 1800s. Nobody ever heard about it. No one ever heard of a golem. Nobody speaks about a golem. The first time they speak about a golem is that they speak about it in the late 1800s. If you had a golem, could you be mitzarefim to a minion? And that's the first discussion about it. Is that the Maral had a golem, nobody even talked about it. I once read an article. Rabbi Lyman's father once gave me an article that there was a newspaper writer that went up in the shul that's supposed to be, and he opened up the place where it's supposed to be, and there was nothing there. It's all shavuos. So the gabbai told him that a week later, they took him away, they put him into the basic forest somewhere. So, but he's not in the attic, you know, so that knocks out a lot of it. Whether he is, he wasn't, I don't know. But okay, let's go. Yeah. Now, let's start from the beginning. We say holachmanya, and he doesn't want that you should say kit holachmanya, because Bozik says, l'man yuras alechem, you got to see the lechem, you have to know it. Now, what is this lechem? Let's go to the second column. We're going to be skipping. Holachman, the second column. Yesh lishol. Loma nikra matz lechemoni. Why is it called poor man's bread? Vari ef shishia no kematzu shloima. You can make matzah very nicely. Val shema nikra matz lechemoni. Why should they call it oni? So he says, I saw people that wrote because it's low bread. And the other things, he doesn't. And then he said, look at, then he brings in here that he saw that people write because we ate it when we were avodim. So if you go down to the bottom of that column, he says, in Dvorim, Shiachishu Akosiv, the Pasuk contradicts it, and the Emes contradicts it. It's not true, he says. That which people say that we ate matzah when we were avodim, it's not true. Because you don't find in any pasuk, not in any Mishnah, and not in any Gemara, that the Mitzrayim gave Klal Yisrael matzah. You don't find it. And just the opposite, it seems just they gave us other things, but not matzah. Now go down in the third column, please. Omnom, Pirish Adova, Ki amatzah nikra lechem oni. It's called poor man's bread, hefech matzah shira. In contrast to what's called matzah shira. Just as a side thing, you have to be very, very careful because egg matzah is not to be eaten on Sha'am Pesach. It says clearly on the box, but they put it in Hebrew, knowing that X amount of people can't read it. And it says, rak liktanim v'cholim. Only for the poor, the kids, and sick. Kimavur b'shulchan aruch. They don't translate it. Cute, man. Okay. So therefore, you got to just be careful. Shekashe yesh bo shemen udvash. When it has oil or it has honey, then it's called ashira. Ki adover azeh ma'ashira salechem. It enriches the bread. V'zeh. Ki ho'oni she'ein lo elo atzmo. Now watch carefully. Now in other words like this. The poor man is poor. It's not a good thing to be. But if you want to discuss the poor man, he has one advantage for what we talk about in Mitzrayim. We want to discuss leaving Egypt. And in order for us to discuss leaving Egypt, we have to discuss it in a way that there is no connection back to Egypt. Because if we have any connection, that they have any hold on us, we're not freed. So therefore, if I talk about a rich man, the rich man's very good, he has a lot of money, it's great. but he's linked to his money. He's linked to his real estate. He's linked to his stocks. He's linked. That's not what we need to represent freedom. The freedom that we want to represent is freedom on something that's not linked. It's him himself, and that's it. There's nothing else. And therefore, he says, Ki ha'ani she'ein lo ela atzmo. He has only himself. V'ein lo mamin. He doesn't have any money. He has no stock. He has no real estate. Rak atzmo v'gufo. V'amatze gamkein. Kache'ein bo rak etzem ha'isa. When it only has the dough itself, nothing else. She'atzmus ha'isa is mayim and kemach. Is the atzmus isa, and that's called lechem oni. Then in Yeshpo Sa'or, if it has yeast, or Chomitz Tamar Sa'or, Vachemitz Unosev, it adds on. That's not going to represent what we are. We became freed, not linked. And therefore, Lechemoni is an advantage in the representation of what happened there. Top of the fourth column. Ula Yikshalo, maybe you'll come back and ask me. What is poverty got to do with freedom? It would seem that poverty and freedom are almost two opposites. Cheres and anias seem to be pretty much opposite. Halo dovezeh ein kasha. That's not a problem. Ki anias ba'atzma hora ala geula. That shows freedom. Shein inyan geula rak sheyeltze goes out the ein lo shum tziruf el zloso. He has no connection to the others. Not like an eved or not like anything else. That's called freedom. And therefore matzah is that which shows that we're real b'nei chorim. And therefore we're freed, and that's how it is to go. And that's why we have this thing called and the night of matzah, we have to eat the lechem oni, because that's what we are, freed. Now, needs to be defined yet, is what's called freedom. Freedom is not what we think in America is. That's not freedom. That's not free. Because we're more meshubed to our desires and other things than ever before. So with that, you'll tell me, well, America, we're free. What do you mean free? We walk around with our cell phone. We ride, drive our cars, and if your car's not big enough, new enough, or better enough, so we got to get new ones, we're all bali taiva. So where's the freedom? That's not called freedom. So what's freedom? How do you define freedom? So we need to see how we're going to define freedom.
The Klai Yisrael were avadim in Mitzrayim, and we're experiencing Yitzias Mitzrayim like they did, which is right. As avadim, not as aniyim. So why?
No, it's not because they were aniyim. That's not the point. Aniyus is what defines what happened. Not because
I understand. That's because an ani is roi la geula.
No,
that's what the Maharal says.
Not because he's talking about the ani, because the state of ani represents freedom.
Unattached.
Right, I understand that, yeah. But at the Seder, we're supposed to experience freedom.
Right.
Right? Like Klal Yisrael.
Right.
So they left as avadim, not...
They were avadim.
No, when they left, they weren't avadim anymore.
They weren't...
By definition.
Were they in...
Well, if they could leave, they couldn't be in heaven.
But what's interesting is that
But that's how they could leave. I mean, it's also a darga of Roy Lukaula is to be an Eved. It's not as maybe as
you're talking about Neved Hashem. You're not talking about Neved. Neved in slavery? That's what makes you be Lukaula?
You don't have possession. I mean he says that it's
that's right.
I don't know.
Maybe you can express yourself clearer.
That's all right. Keep going.
No, I want to understand it.
I just understand.
Where in the Maharal do you see it? Oh, lo kamo evet she'eino omed ba'atzmo.
Right. So what do you, no, but I'm trying to understand, what do you mean?
We're supposed to experience Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right.
Right?
And therefore we start as Avodim at the beginning of the Seder.
Yeah.
And as we go through the first part and through Magid, we're going from Avdus L'Cheirus.
Right, so what is the purpose of the Ani in that process?
It defines what it happened to us. You see, if you have an Eved that gets freed, but the owner still has connection to him, he still owns him, then he's not a freed Eved. When we say Hari Onu Ubanenu Uvenevanenu Mishubodim. Mishubodim does not mean we would be slaves. We would be enslaved.
We'd owe something.
Right? So we are all, he still owns us. Right? Like, isn't that what Mordechai Tanya to Haman? I Haman, right? I Haman is now the vice president of the whole place. But that's what Mordechai said. You never got out. So getting out, but you're still the Eved that's being owned just because I ran away, doesn't show what happened to us. But we're trying to show what we really became. We became people that had no connection to that which was. And that's what matzah represents to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in Eved, they got out, but in the master never let go. That's not what we're talking
about. So that is like an Ani?
What?
The connection to nothing is like an Ani.
That nekuda, right, of the Ani. It doesn't mean the Ani. The point of the Ani.
Uh-huh.
It's a very, very fine point that he's making. It's not the Anius, because
right,
that's an advantage. It's the point of what the Ani has. That's what we need. That one little point about the Ani.
But how's the matzah related to the
Ani, though? Because the matzah has nothing else but the basic.
Ah, okay.
Right. Just like the Ani has nothing but, the basic, so to say, the
okay,
basic, the body, or whatever you
mean. So it's disattachment, basically? It's not being attached?
That's right. Not disattachment, not being
attached.
Not being linked. That's called guru. Right? But matzah shiri isn't that way. Matzah shira means you need something, the oil, the honey, whatever you put in there. And here it's the basics. That's it.
Okay.
Right? Now, let's go to the next page. And here the Maharal tells us tremendous insight. If the point of Geula is that you're not linked, it had to be in the first month, because 5 is linked to 1, 2, 3, 4. You can't get to number 5 without 1, 2, 3, 4. So you're linked. If I want to show that you have no linkage at all, the only number that I could have possibly used is 1. That's what the Maharal says. Umizet tovin. Mashoya gulosam b'chodesh rishon, first column, dafka. V'zeki ein gula raka shen nivdom izulos, only when you're totally separate. V'omeg batzmo, you stand on your own. U'mizet tovi agula, that's gula. V'chodesh rishon, the first month, she'ein bo ischab ruzman, has no connection, rak shu rishon. Ki achodesh hasheni, the second month, pavush shu sheni, because it's number 2, Yesh chibur zman, there is a connection. Vein zeroi, and it's not worthy, ala gu'ula shi'om dimatzmo. Chlal dov, kol inyan a gu'ula istalkis, its removal, mizulas from the other, lamod ba'atzmo. V'lo yir lo'em tziruf l'chibur el zuloso. That's called freedom.
Why isn't it
on the first of the month? Right? Logically, it should have been the first of the month. Because Klal Yisrael is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Klal Yisrael goes with the moon. Because of that, we're a reflection of Hashem. The moon maximizes on the 15th. So we are in the month of number one to show that we're freed, but we maximize as a nation to be able to come to that Geula on the 15th. Now he comes to this point again. We'll go to the next paragraph. And this is the morale that was being referred to. Now, if you look at the pasuk, it's a difficult pasuk. Pasuk says, 7 days you should eat matzahs, lechem oni, because you left quickly. What is that going to do with the 7 days? Pasuk is a little bit. But he says, Pirish, shetoicha lechem oni. Leave, you eat this. Chuhua lechem omeg biatzmo veinot starf as a zulo. It's not connected. Veloma tocha lechem. Why should you eat this in bread? Why is it strange matzah? Why are you doing it? Because in the quickness, as we just spoke about in that Pachad Yitzchak, minyan achipozen hu mehirus v'yein bo ikuvim shechzman, doesn't take time. Ki kashem shiyotze b'chodesh rishon, just like the left on the first month, because chodesh rishon represents gula, for that, you don't want to be connected, as we've been talking about time, and therefore, it's on. It's in the time or the setting of quickness. And therefore, it should be the Geula can't take time. And that's this morale. Okay, so it goes more to discuss this idea of why it is that way. And that's why you don't have any salt in it and you have nothing in it. And that's why, look at the third column, it says, Dim Yunzeh, this is like Kohen Gadol Mishamish B'chol Yimei Hashana, the Kohen Gadol all year round can wear big days off. U'b'yom HaKippurim, but when you go in on the Kodesh Kodashim, you wear the simplest you could possibly get. White, simple clothing. L'fnei l'fnim v'zeh b'shvil shukonim adreg elyono, because you want to get to the high levels? Simple. When we want to get there, matzah? Simple. So then he goes for the Blineda next week. We'll have to continue to understand more about the Seder as we go along. We'll try and get to within the next part. About Lecha, about Matzah, Moror, all these, we're going to try and get there and see what we can do with it. And then we still have to have to get to Chagag. This is a simple thing, Behisha Omda. Behisha Omda. What does that mean? And if it stood for us through all the years, this promise that we're not going to be forgotten. What, where, what, who is a very big machlokes, how to learn the Hisha Omda. Does it go on the next paragraph or is it referring back? Because back is the Bris Mein Absarim. Promises to Avram Avinu. And in the promises of Avram Avinu was not only the Geula from Egypt, but Egypt was the example. In there is the promise to all redemptions. And that promise stands for us till today. And that we hold on and that we have hope for a future and that we talk to each other about Yemosa Mashiach and we say we're getting closer and closer. That's Behisham. That's exactly it. But if I don't say it over at the Seder, and I don't give that hope over to my kids and to the grandchildren over at the Seder, they're missing in the basics. That's Seder night. To be able to be prepared and ready to give over to them. Emunah. Pashen Emunah. Yes. We're trying to be nice.
You doing
Chagadia
as well next week?
Yeah, I hope.
I'm coming in. Okay,